All rise. The Honorable Court, all rise, the Honorable, the United States Court of Appeals for the First Circuit is now in session. All persons having any business before this Honorable Court may draw near, give their attendance, and they shall be heard. God save the United States of America and this Honorable Court. Court is in session, you may be seated.
Good morning, everyone.
Today's cases will be called as previously announced, and the times will be as allotted to counsel. The first case today is number 21-1483, United States versus Carl Messner. Attorney McGillian, please come forward and introduce yourself on the record to begin.
Good morning, Your Honors. Here for Carl Messner, I'd like to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal.
You may.
Your Honors, the government here has conceded that there is an ex post facto violation in applying a four-level enhancement to Mr. Messner's sentence, an enhancement that did not exist at the time of his offense. Mr. Messner has clearly demonstrated on this record both an ex post facto violation that was due to ineffective assistance and prejudice, because his sentence would have been 35% lower had the enhancement not applied. The government is urging this court to sit as a fact finder and find that the trial court may have, perhaps, applied a different enhancement that the government did not seek to achieve the same guidelines range. And this record simply doesn't
support it. It was in probation's recommendation. And so why wouldn't the court have a right to rely on probation's assessment? Which wasn't contested.
Yes, Your Honor. It was entitled to rely on it for the enhancement that the government sought. However, the government is now asking for that description to apply to a different enhancement that was not before the trial court, that trial counsel was not incentivized to object to. And the first court...
But it was before the court. It was in the pretrial report.
The enhancement that the government now seeks was not before the court. The enhancement...
It was in the pretrial report, and why wasn't it before the court?
The enhancement for a four-level enhancement for sadistic or masochistic images was not before the court, Your Honor. It was not in the PSR. The description of the image was. However, counsel's incentives for objecting to that image were very different. The enhancement before the court required a far lesser standard of proof. Any image of a toddler depicting sexual abuse could have satisfied it. Had counsel objected to simply the description, the government could very easily have substituted another image of a very young child. So counsel was not necessarily going to achieve anything under the sexual abuse of a toddler enhancement by objecting. The first attorney with a proper set of incentives to object is me, and I am on the record objecting to any reliance on a PSR description for a significant enhancement that the court, and this record is replete with the judge's statements that it was inclined to sentence at the lowest possible level. Hui, the First Circuit case that would otherwise permit reliance on this type of image if it were presented to the court, and it was not, requires a court finding, a qualitative, significant finding, that a single image amounts to sadistic or masochistic behavior, and that the client should be responsible for it. And we simply don't have that record. The government, if it wanted to come up with a list of 10 ways it could have tried to achieve the same sentence, can't ask an appellate court to make factual findings to support an alternative sentence that it specifically did not seek below. The record in this case shows that this judge was inclined to sentence Mr. Messner at the lowest possible rate, end of the range.
Don't we have precedent that would make pretty clear that image number 3 would satisfy the enhancement that has existed all along, that is now subpart A?
Yes, but counsel would have objected to to it had the government presented...
On what grounds, though?
On what grounds? The trial counsel could have argued, Judge, this significant enhancement increases my client's sentence by 35% based on a single image. There is no evidence that my client ever saw the image. The image was carved, which means it's literally pieced back together. We don't know how long this image or when this image was acquired. The judge specifically said that he did not believe that Mr. Messner was the type of person who would ever molest a child or harm a child. There's a lot of evidence in this record that this judge would not necessarily have applied this enhancement. The judge said, I'm going to give you a less severe sentence than the guidelines request.
But even the judge did apply the B enhancement.
Yes.
Which, so everything you say about that he doesn't think that the defendant would have engaged in the activity himself is sort of beside the point. This is a possession of pornography, and he's got the image, and that image bears on B as well.
There is on B, but...
So you had an incentive to ask the court not to deem it admissible or something?
Not necessarily, because as the judge pointed out at sentencing, there were a number of images that could have satisfied that enhancement. That enhancement was easier to prove. And counsel did not have the same set of incentives that I do here to object to application of a more severe, more punitive... It has far more significant consequences to have a PSR say that you possess an image that depicted sadistic or masochistic conduct. And had counsel objected, there were any number of images that the government could have substituted. So the counsel's incentives to object were not there. And acquiescing to a description doesn't mean that the government can, on appeal, use that description to satisfy any other enhancement it chooses. And the government here had every incentive and failed to rely on that alternative provision. It very cagily didn't identify which subsection it was using in its sentencing memo. However,
didn't the government's memo argue that the memorandum said it was sexual abuse / exploitation of a child / sadomasochistic enhancement? So their sentencing memorandum wrapped it all up.
The sentencing memorandum is not the PSR, and it is not what the court adopted on the record. If the government had wanted to preserve this avenue, it could have asked the court, Judge, we believe both of these apply. Please choose which one is most applicable. And we simply don't have the record for applying an alternative enhancement in this case.
Let me ask you, most of the arguments so far would read exactly as it's been presented were this a direct appeal. But in fact, we're not directly appealing that issue because we've got a waiver problem, right? So it's an ineffective assistance framework that we're approaching this argument from.
That's correct. The only argument that Mr. Messner is pursuing on this appeal is an ineffective assistance of counsel. And the government has actually conceded that counsel could have and should have objected to this enhancement.
Counsel, could you, 1 second, please? Dan, what's going on with the...
I think that it just temporary. I think it's not making the noise that it usually does, but it's clicking instead.
So is it okay?
I think it is. It's not the recorder.
Okay. All right. Sorry, counsel.
Yeah, following up what Judge Gallardo was saying, here, I looked at the plea agreement and the record. There is a waiver appeal provision, and your client was sentenced within the purview of that particular clause. So doesn't that... and you may have on habeas eventually an ineffective assistance claim, but for purposes of this appeal, wouldn't that bar the appeal at this time?
It would not, Your Honor, because ineffective assistance claims are specifically preserved, and there's no bar to raising them on direct appeal, particularly where it serves the interests of justice and where it's more efficient because the record can actually evidence the ineffective assistance, and an appellate court can decide it, and the defendant is entitled to counsel. So it would be a waste of the court's resources to push this to a 2255 because this record very evidently evidences an ineffective assistance claim.
But doesn't that framework effectively shift the burden? If there were no waiver, we would in effect be asking whether the government has shown harmless error. But
the government, because it's a constitutional error, were I raising this as a direct claim, the government would be required to show harmlessness beyond a reasonable doubt.
Yes, but we're not in that framework, so the burden is on you to show that under the third prong, probably, certainly by the fourth prong of plain error review, you need to show that counsel made a decision that no reasonable counsel would have made, and that had that decision not been made, your fellow would have come out better.
That's right, and I've met that standard, Your Honor, because I have an enhancement that increases the sentence by four levels, and without the enhancement, my guy would have had a four-level less sentencing guideline.
Well, that's if this other enhancement that is now A had not been applied, and there was potential for another 2 points, weren't there, that your client could have been exposed to had the objection to applying B been raised.
Or 4 points, if I understand the government's argument correctly. So, is it my burden? Are you applying a heightened standard to the defendant if I'm required to disprove a government argument on appeal that the record lends no support for, particularly where trial counsel had no incentive to object to a description? This would put this court in a fact-finding position to find and hold that it was more likely than not that this court would have applied this other enhancement, which was not sought, which is far more.
But I don't understand why your position is you did not have an obligation to object to a description.
Well, if you consider, Your Honor, that the enhancement that the government sought permitted four-level increases for any image of a toddler that showed sexual abuse, so any number of images could have qualified for this enhancement. So had counsel objected, the government could have very easily substituted another image. The judge himself in sentencing said, a lot of these images show very, very young children. So the judge may have been more comfortable applying this broader, more easily proven enhancement to sentence somebody to four extra levels based on a single image. We don't have anything on the record showing that the judge was willing to do that. You'd be speculating.
So I still don't understand. If the government's memo talks about sadomasochistic enhancement, mm-hmm. why weren't you obligated to specifically object to what that picture depicted?
Because the PSR, which is what the judge was guided by, did not actually seek that enhancement. And maybe counsel should have objected and preempted any potential change of argument at sentencing. But the government made it pretty clear that it was only seeking one enhancement. If it had wanted to seek both enhancements or presented them to the court in the alternative, we would be in a different ballgame. And here, we're simply in an arena where the judge only considered one enhancement, and there's nothing in this record. The judge didn't even mention the words sadistic, masochistic, didn't even describe or address the image. So,
but doesn't that cause you a problem? Because I'm just sitting there thinking, defense counsel, they've kind of got the guy dead to rights on possession. They've got the toddler stuff. If I concede that, then that's it. But there's this horrific photo that he also had that would become very relevant if we really forced the government to make the A sadomasochistic showing. And then that's in front of the judge, and maybe the judge starts feeling very differently about my guy. What would be unreasonable as a matter of law for defense counsel to think that way?
Because defense counsel has an obligation to point out constitutional errors to the court. And the problem with this other enhancement...
Well, that's not true if it's going to make your client worse off. You certainly don't have an obligation to point it out.
It wouldn't necessarily make the client worse off.
No, but if you think it might, why would you raise it?
Your Honor, honestly, a defense counsel who fails to raise an ex post facto error when they have raised every argument, including the kitchen sink, in support of their client, but missed a very important one that would have permitted far stronger arguments for reducing sentence, because here was a court who was expressed in several different statements that they wanted to go to the bottom of the range, that the probation officer thought that this client, that this defendant, did not deserve a guideline sentence. Counsel would have been able to make very significant arguments that a single image could not drive 35% of the sentence. I'm sure all the images in this case were not fun to look at, but a judge who has to impose sentence based on this alternative provision, the government avoided it because it wanted to avoid presenting the image. I'm sorry, I've gone close.
Ms. McGillian, let me just interrupt you for a minute. Dan, are you keeping time?
I am.
Oh.
We are over.
Am I way over?
The beat didn't work, so since the court was still asking questions, I...
Okay. But if you're keeping them, I didn't hear you, but this is the first time I've been back since March of 2020, so I've got to relearn the rules and what's going on in the courtroom.
I'm happy to continue asking questions.
No, I think your time has expired, but thank you.
Thank you. At this time, would Attorney Afram please take to the podium and introduce yourself on the record to begin?
Judge, I can do like we do on Zoom, and I can announce the time has expired because the clock is not working.
Yeah, if you could do that for me, I'd appreciate
yes,
it.
Yes, Judge.
Good morning. Seth Avery of the United States. I think Judge Kayada's last sort of colloquy was the essence of my argument, but let me just set up what I think happened here. I think that would be helpful to just set the parameter. So the PSR originally applies the B provision. It lists images, including an image that shows penetration of a toddler. An objection is made to that four-level enhancement. The probation officer replies, referencing that image, and says, this qualifies as sadomasochistic, which is the A provision, under this court's decision in Hope. That's how it goes to the district court. No further objection is made to that enhancement at that time. And now the argument is made that it should have been made, because what the probation officer didn't do, he references in his response to the letter writing objections that happened, it's the sadomasochistic provision. He doesn't actually make a change to the final probation report, so it still has the B provision in it. As I point out in the brief, I think that's a benefit to the defendant, because what the Nichols case cited in my brief says, some images trigger the B provision and the A provision. If an image such as that triggers both, the A provision should be applied, because that then allows the district court to also apply two additional levels as a vulnerable victim. So while the probation officer noted the application of the A level, he didn't actually change it, so the two levels never ends up being in play. That's obviously a benefit to the defendant. Now, I can't speak to you for what's in the head of the defense lawyer. Did she understand all this? I don't know that. But what I can say is objectively that if you said the B provision doesn't apply, there is an image of penetration that triggers the A provision, the law would say, okay, the A provision applies, same four levels, no ex post facto problem, and two more levels could be added. That's not to the defendant's benefit. So objectively, it was strategic to not raise that.
Counsel, what you're arguing, if there's a benefit to the defendant, then when you look at it under the lens of an effective assistance, you would suggest there's no prejudice, right, to the defendant?
You can look at that either side, Judge. You can say...
Because we're dealing with, it's just an effective assistance, so we have to look, right, See if there's prejudice. And
you look at two things. Was it strategic? You don't even reach prejudice. Or even if it was non-strategic, was the person harmed? Well, it's neither. I'd say a lawyer who's acting in the best interest of the defendant wouldn't raise that argument. But even if they had raised it, the four levels would still apply under the A section, and they would obtain nothing from raising the argument. So there's no prejudice.
Well, is there enough on the record for us to conclude that this was a strategic choice?
Well, what I thought was a little peculiar about the argument you just heard was basically this appeal should be denied because it needs further record development, and that, you know, that is the standard way to deal with an ineffective assistance claim. I guess the way I looked at this case was, if you wanted to reject the argument on direct appeal, where we are now, you would say there's a description of an image that no one has objected to that describes penetration of a toddler. No objection has been raised to that. No real claim has been made that that's not what it shows. This is extra record. I looked at it. That's what it shows. And here we are. And so the question then is, if that's the case and that image exists, then A applies. And if A applies, there is no reason to have raised this ex post facto argument. That's my position. If you don't like that position because you think you want to know more about the penetration image, the answer is not to find that this direct appeal is successful. It's to deny it and say, go back and raise a 2255, which would be the normal way to deal with a case like this. That is the summary of my argument. If the court doesn't have any additional questions, I'm content to rest on the brief.
But just to pin down, the whole exchange did take place between probation and the judge, where the probation specifically talked about sadomasochistic.
Right, so the way that it works, at least in our district, I think it's similar in other districts, but the probation officer writes a report.
Yep.
The initial report said, described images, including the penetration image, and said this B section of the new guideline applies, which says any sexual abuse of an image or toddler. Objection was raised by letter with the probation department. The probation department writes a letter back that's in the record that the court gets, the government gets, the defense gets. And the probation officer said there that the image of the penetration constitutes a sadomasochistic image, see United States versus Hoey, this court's decision. After that, so the objection raised by the defense is marked by the probation officer as unresolved because the probation officer is not going to change his report. Then it comes to the district court at the sentencing hearing, and the district court and the defendant can raise that issue again. The defendant did not raise that issue again before the district court. So the report stayed the same. The mistake the probation officer, I think, made is in the letter he said, this image showed penetration, it's sadomasochistic. Therefore, instead of applying the B provision, he should have said, judge, really the A provision applies. But he didn't say that. He just sort of left his original report the way it was, which referenced the B provision. And that's my point, that it benefited the defendant. It's better for the defendant to have the B provision because that takes vulnerable victim off the table. And that is to the defendant's benefit. I don't know if the judge would have applied vulnerable victim or not under 3A, but it was a risk. And so if you know that A is going to apply anyway, I'm going to get the same four levels anyway, it's better to say leave it as B, because if I leave it as B, then we won't get into the problem that I might get two more levels from my client. So that's the gist. That's the sort of the summary of our argument.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Aframe. Attorney McGillion, if you could please reintroduce yourself on the record to begin.
Yes, Ines McGillion, here with rebuttal. Just to be very clear, there is no way the vulnerable victim enhancement could have applied here if an image that the government chose to introduce, and it did not below, were used to support a four-level enhancement, because the vulnerable victim enhancement would be double counting, because the four-level enhancement would be based on age alone and already account for age. So that puts that argument to rest. I want to be very clear. The PSR here did not, in any way, shape, or form, rely on the sadistic and masochistic conduct enhancement. And as much as the government may come before you and argue maybe this, maybe that, they could have argued this, they could have argued that, they did not. The government chose not to rely on that enhancement. And it is stuck with its record. This record is one where we have a judge who has made almost 10 statements stating that it wants to sentence my client to the bottom end of the range. And had the government sought this alternative enhancement, counsel would have been incentivized to object because it's based on a single image. It's a far more pejorative enhancement. There's no record for this court, as an appellate court, to make factual determinations that a description that trial counsel had no incentive to object to below because it was being used for a totally separate enhancement, an easier to prove enhancement, this court would have to assume and speculate what a trial judge would do when the record is replete with evidence that this trial judge wanted to go easy on my client. And therefore, I submit to you, instead of kicking this to a 2255, if this court is disinclined to find that this is a clear error and that I've clearly met my burden of showing prejudice, the solution would be to remand for a very short half-hour evidentiary hearing where the defendant is entitled to the assistance of counsel. It would not serve the interests of justice or efficiency to force my client to seek a 2255 when we've got a very clear ex post facto error that the government concedes. It's trying to posit alternative enhancements that it didn't seek. And I need to repeat, I wonder why. With many of these images, it is very hard to tell what you're looking at. The government has never once come before this court and said that the age of this victim was apparent from the image. And that should raise a big question in your mind, because my client, had some image been trotted out to the court, that judge may not have imposed that enhancement. The government has chosen its course. It has relied on one enhancement. That enhancement violated it ex post facto. It may not, on appeal, pursue a dozen other avenues to try to change my client's sentence.
Counsel, let me ask you, you're saying as an alternative rather than that 2255, a remand, would you be basing that on the fact that the judge when judges are supposed to calculate the sentencing guidelines and use 3553A factors, is that an issue of procedural reasonableness that would warrant, I think that's what your argument is.
Well, any remand.
And that just sends it back to remand, and once you're back there, then you can argue that there.
A remand for that's narrow time. Development of the record where the government should not be allowed to introduce new evidence, but to determine why trial counsel, if it was a strategic choice to avoid this other enhancement, I think it was just oversight, because we have trial counsel who is commended for throwing everything in the kitchen sink into her memo. She missed the one chief argument that undermined the most significant four-level, that's a big enhancement, a significant four-level enhancement, and she missed it. She recognized this was an old case, and every attorney, every trial attorney especially, should know when the guidelines get amended, when
all right, counsel, you
and she should have known that this was an ex post facto violation. Yes, Your Honor.
Thank you.
That concludes argument.